This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, baraka nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, tasliman kathira thumma amma ba'd. Are you allowed to pray behind an imam who is Hanafi? Ya jama'ah. Can you pray behind an imam who is Hanafi? Astaghfirullah, right? How dare you even ask the question, right? No, but that's a serious matter. Because if you read in books of history, or books of fiqh, as a matter of fact, there was a time in the Muslim ummah where, unfortunately, this question, which we laugh at today, was a serious question. They ask you, is it okay for a Shafi'i to pray behind Hanafi, or Hanafi to pray behind Shafi'i? What's the premise of that question? Where did this come from anyway? It came from the fact that they thought, look, the Hanafis, they believe in certain areas in the Salah, where if I am, as a Shafi'i, pray like that, will be invalid for me. And the Hanafi, they would say the same thing. The Shafi'is, they pray in a certain way, that if I am, as a Hanafi, pray in that way, that would be invalid for me. That's their perception of this. That is their calculation in terms of fiqh and usul and so on. So therefore, they came to this conclusion. And at some point, unfortunately, that came into the actual community platform. And they start wondering if I should pray behind this imam or not, being Shafi'i or being Hanafi. So that's a serious question. And subhanAllah, from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, we have what helps us sort out these issues and make things, inshallah ta'ala, easy for us. And that is hadith Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda, hadith number 1838 in Riyadh al-Salihin. قال وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يصلون لكم فإن أصابوا فلكم وإن أخطأوا فلكم عليهم رواه البخاري. This hadith comes short over here, but it comes in a larger context. But the point from this hadith is when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked about, he was talking about actually leadership, imams and khalifas at a time when there will be fitan, and some of these leaders will be messing up with the salah. Meaning what? They delay the salah, for example, for the people. They might even do things in salah that are not necessarily comparable. However, it's still not to the extent that would invalidate the salah. So what do we do in this case? So the Prophet ﷺ said to them, قال, يُصَلُّونَ لَكُمْ. Your leaders will lead you in salah if they conduct it properly, and you and they will be rewarded. قال, وَإِنْ أَخْطَأُوا فَلَكُمْ وَعَلَيْهِمْ. But if they make mistakes, you will earn the reward and they will be held responsible for these mistakes. What does that exactly mean? Now, there are two things here. Number one, in terms of leadership. Number two, in terms of imam, who did the salah. In terms of leadership, that's what the hadith is speaking about. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he also mentioned as one of the signs that would come later in the ummah, he said, there will be amongst you, he said, salah, they will come at a time where their imams and leaders, يُؤَخِّرُونَ الصَّلَاةَ عَنْ وَقْتِهَا. They will delay the salah way from its proper time. And they make this the official time. So Sahaba, they were just kind of like, what, Ya Rasulullah, what do we do in this case? If this happens to us, what do we do? He says, قَالْ صَلُّ الصَّلَاةَ لِوَقْتِهَا. You pray on time and then join them for jama'ah. Like you got to pray twice. Pray on time and join them for the jama'ah. So sometimes these leaders will make these regulations or rules that you as an average Muslim in the ummah responsible to follow the rule. So as long as those rules do not invalidate the salah, you should be okay. You should be fine. So for example, again, you come to a country where it's predominantly Hanafis, and then the leadership, let's say, they assign somebody who recites Surah, when you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, recite Surah Al-Fatiha started with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, in the Hanafis and the Malikis and the Hanbalis, they don't pronounce the Basmala out loud. But it's the Shafi'i, they do that. So if the Imam says Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, to me, to you, might be saying, come on, I mean, Hadith Anas is very clear that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar, they wish to recite with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So why are you saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Are we going to make a big deal out of this? No. Just follow his example, and that's it. We're done. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, look, if that was wrong, if that was a mistake, they will be responsible for it. And you should be fine. So don't look at these differences that will make you delay or actually not praying behind each other. They will divide the ummah. And again, the purpose from the Prophet ﷺ saying these words is what? to keep the ummah united, keep them together. So no one starts coming with these excuses and not to pray behind these imams. Now, if the imam, in regard to the imam who leads the salah, the imam, if he makes a mistake, as long as that mistake is rectified later on with the sujood sahu, alhamdulillah, you're done. But I didn't make a mistake. He did the mistake. That's fine. You're okay. Your salah is valid. Similarly, if the imam makes a mistake that would invalidate the salah, you need to fix your salah. So, for example, the imam, let's say he stood up for a fifth rak'ah, and you keep saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, and you told him, this is the fifth rak'ah, and he insists it's the fourth rak'ah. In this case, are you going to stand up with them for the fifth rak'ah? Now, some fuqaha, they would say yes, because you don't know what the imam is actually thinking about. Maybe he made a mistake in one of his rak'ahs, and as a result, he's adding this one in place of the one that is considered invalid. So you just need to follow his example. That's fine. You follow the example of the imam, and then because if there was a mistake, he carries the responsibility. And you do it right by following that imam. So the Prophet ﷺ is making it clear here that when it comes to the salah, it's a public thing. Everybody comes to the masjid. Men, women, children, the community gets together for the salah. It's important that we keep the salah in order, not to get divided over the salawat and over these details. An imam might come over here, Maliki, for example. They say Allahu Akbar, and they keep their hands on their side. Are we going to fight with him? No, you should have put your hand here. We're not going to do that. We're going to make sure that the salah is still actually in order. If there was a mistake, because this mistake does not, even if you consider it to be a mistake, still does not invalidate the salah, you should be okay, inshallah, to pray behind the imam and not worry about these matters. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Any question, Jama'ah? Al-Khutbah? No, it's not. It depends. It depends on who's speaking, which madhab. Nah. Let's ask the question, you know, from a fiqh point of view. If I don't attend the khutbah al-jumu'ah and I pray salat al-jumu'ah only, would my salah be considered valid? Salat al-Jumu'ah valid? The answer is yes. Salat al-Jumu'ah is valid. I know in some schools of thought, they consider the khutbah part of the salah. So if you miss the khutbah, you can't pray Jumu'ah, you should pray Dhuhr. I don't believe this is a valid opinion. But our correct opinion might be valid, but not correct. What I believe is that al-Jumu'ah is a two rak'ah. Yes, you're supposed to attend the khutbah with that, because that's the whole purpose of Jumu'ah anyway. But if I came late, for example, or by the time I parked my car, they finished the khutbah, for instance, and I came with the imam is reciting in the Quran, you should be fine. Your Jumu'ah is still valid, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now, if I don't like this khatib because he always, you know, takes too long, or he always talks about irrelevant topics, or like you said, he's always, you know, talk about praising leaders and attacking the Muslims, I don't want to listen to this thing. So what do I do in this case? I would say still attend the khutbah. Attend the khutbah because it's not about the khatib, it's about you. You need to be in the masjid for the khutbah and be patient with that, inshallah ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam. Nah. Yes. Is it?
Yeah.
Being a big problem? Yeah, I mean, the question is about basically this becoming an issue in some Muslim countries. I personally believe these issues are where there is less education. When we go to villages and the countryside in some Muslim countries where they have not seen any form of Islam other than what they've been taught by their imam who comes from a specific background, they see Islam through the lenses of the imam. That's it. So therefore, if they hear somebody saying Ameen out loud, it's just blasphemy. If they see somebody, for example, put their hands below or not, you know, on their side, they think this is actually being a big deal. They don't see Islam. They don't. So basically, their Islam is very, very subjective from that perspective. And for them, I think the reason why they hold on to this very strongly, because it becomes their identity. They identify themselves through Islam or with Islam through this particular practice. And that's when you try to remove it, becomes a big deal. Like we came from Bosnia not too long ago. In Bosnia, they inherited some of the Turkish tradition, which is also being practiced in some Muslim countries, Arab countries as well too. What they call the muazzin system. Once the imam finishes the salah, assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, there's a muaddin, somebody who starts making tasmih, says as-salatu was-salamu ala rasulillah, and then they make a tasbih together and dua together and so on. Now, I don't participate in that. I personally consider this to be bid'ah. It's not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you know what? In their tradition, they're doing this because I believe that's what preserved Islam by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the time of the communists and all stuff and so on. I respect their dedication, but hopefully with education, inshallah ta'ala, they will learn differently. I remember 20 plus years ago when I first was there in Bosnia, it was so hard and difficult to be sitting there in the masjid and people look suspicious at you because you're not participating. And there will be some debates like you said. But nowadays, after 20 plus years, with the exposure to the other cultures and other Muslim communities and so on, mashallah, they're tolerant and other people also tolerant with them. So we're learning. So with education, we can remove these differences, inshallah. Now. Yeah, the highly educated that create the fitna, it's not about education anymore, it's about territories, unfortunately. It becomes territorial war between the schools of Tar and Madahab. Nah, just to give an example. It's an example, not a specific school of thought. I heard that from our mashayikh, like Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, Sheikh Ibn Baz. They say, look, follow the imam. Especially if you say Subhanallah and the imam insists. It's not like the imam is confused, he doesn't know what's going on. No, he insists on praying, even though it's the fifth rak'ah. If you realize the imam is insisting, that means he might be praying for a reason, this fifth rak'ah. Just pray with him. And after he's done, you let him know, hey, you prayed five rak'ah. If he said, no, there were four, and everybody tells him, no, there were actually five rak'ah, in this case, the salah needs to be redone again. But if he says, I know, but I messed up in third rak'ah or second rak'ah, so I might have to make this rak'ah in place of that one. Wallahu a'lam. Nah. Yes. If you had to, like if the imam is not heeding the reminder, like you're telling them, Subhanallah, 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 he's not getting it. So, are you allowed to say fifth rak'ah? The answer is yes. Because this is now a speech for maslahat al-salah, to help the imam correct the mistake in salah. But you're not going to have a conversation with him, yani. Seriously. Like, it happened one time actually with us when we were camping. So, one time the imam made a mistake, or at least the brother was correcting the imam. And the imam was literally kind of saying, like, he said, the recitation was waqad. I think he said laqad or something like that. So he said, walaqad. And the imam says, laqad. He goes, walaqad. So he kind of confused him. Then he goes, walaqad. He goes, yes. You can imagine what happened in our salah. It was a scene. So it became a conversation now. No. Okay, second point, or that one? Khalas, when you remember, inshallah. Walid. Uh-huh. Did he make that intentionally or unintentionally, or this is the best of his ability? How would he make a mistake in Surah Al-Fatiha in terms of reciting Surah Al-Fatiha? Halfway through, cut it short? Okay, so if the imam makes a mistake in the Fatiha, According to majority of the fuqaha, in terms of Fatiha being rukun in salah, or at least the opinion that I follow in regard to Surah Al-Fatiha, yeah, that rak'ah is invalid. And if the imam has insist not to bring rak'ah in place of that rak'ah, when he gives his salam, you add an extra rak'ah for yourself. Do you understand that? So let's say the imam in the first rak'ah, he says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ihdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim. Skip the whole thing. And people, they were trying to correct him, and he kept moving on. And he continued the rak'ah. So he did not recite the Fatiha properly, and as a result, it's missing a rukun. As a result, we don't count this rak'ah to be valid rak'ah. So if the imam does not add an extra rak'ah at the end in place of that one, and he says, Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, you stand up and you do the rak'ah. Say it again. There's no different opinion. Well, if you're gonna take a different opinion, they would say that the Hanafi school, for example, they don't consider the Fatiha to be rukun, but it's fard. So therefore, yani, if you miss something in it, salah is still valid, but it's not proper. Then it's not done proper in that regard. So if that's his opinion, then that's his thing. Wallah. Yes, because it's still rukun. Nah. And you're the imam? Allah inak. Because I'm leading the salah right now, and I'm doubting my wudu. I'm the imam. I'm doubting my wudu in salah. What do I do in this case? No, you don't. You still need to remember the last certainty that you have. What does that exactly mean? I had wudu, did I break my wudu or otherwise? What's the certainty? What is the last thing you remember? If you remember that the last thing I had wudu, and I'm not sure if I broke my wudu or not, then keep going. Keep going, don't worry about it. Continue your salah. But if your last certainty is that I know I used the bathroom, but I'm not sure if I made wudu afterwards, then in this case, you need to stop your salah and have somebody lead the salah from the beginning. There's difference between the imam starting the salah without wudu or losing the wudu in the middle. If the imam starts the salah without wudu, and then he remembers, oh my God, I don't have wudu. So in this case, he needs to break his salah and everybody else's salah. But if the imam breaks his wudu in salah, in this case, he simply pulls somebody from behind him to continue the salah for the people. And should be okay with that, inshallah ta'ala. Now.
What do you mean by break the salah?
What do you mean?
Like when he's leaving the salah.
The imam?
Yeah.
Well, if he started the salah, if he didn't have wudu,
its
salah is broken anyway. Khalas, yani. But he need to alert the people, yani, that salah is broken. But if he, if the imam, let's say if the imam, he did not have wudu from the beginning, but he didn't know. He finished the salah, and after he says, Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, he's doing tasbih, and he remembers, oh man, I don't have wudu. So in this case, does he have to announce to the public, say, Jama'ah, your salah is batil, and you have to repeat your salah? The answer is no. Their salah is all valid. And their salah is all correct. It's his salah that's not correct, and he needs to repeat his salah. That's it. Like I remember one time online, I see a picture on, somebody posted on social media. The imam of the masjid, he posted, he says, all the musallis of the masjid should repeat their salat al-asr from yesterday, because I remember I didn't have wudu when we prayed salat al-asr. Like, are you serious? Like you're gonna make this public announcement on the door of the masjid to tell the people, look, those, if you prayed Asr with me yesterday, do it again because I didn't have wudu yesterday. Allahumma musta'an. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.